Closing the door there, so we may as well get started. So welcome everybody, thank you for coming along at 5 in the afternoon. My name's Paul Andrew, and I'm a technical product manager in the Office 365 team, and I cover identity management, data centers and networking for the Office 365. So this afternoon we're going to be talking about identity management for Office 365, and this talk is Identity Management is Easy in Office 365. And we're going to be talking about the different identity models that you can use with Office 365. We have three different identity models. There's cloud-based identity, synchronized identity, and federated identity. So we'll go through those, and I'll show you how you can configure those, because they're really easy to set up. And then we'll talk a bit about how you can choose between the different identity models. And then finally, I will talk a little bit about third-party identity providers and what's required for configuring those. So this is not a real deep dive session. What you should get out of this session is the ability to give people advice about which identity model they want to choose. And you should have a good overview and understanding of how you go about configuring identity management for Office 365. So is everybody ready? All right. So first off, let's talk about these three different identity models. And cloud-based identity model is the easiest one to set up. It's simplest. It's basically got no on-premises servers. It's just in the cloud. It's actually Office 365 uses Azure Active Directory, and we've used that since Office 365 was first designed. And so all of your user management is inside of Office 365. We'll take a quick look at that in a moment. A second one is synchronized identity, and this means you do have some on-premises servers. Typically, if you have an on-premises Active Directory service, you're going to want to synchronize those users into Office 365 so that they can directly access the service and you don't have to re-enter them. You don't have to import them. You just configure synchronization and you're good to go. So synchronized identity is typically paired with password hash synchronization, where we take a hash of the password, and we synchronize that up to Azure Active Directory as well, and your user can sign in with that. This requires between none and maybe three additional on-premises servers. It can be done with none. We'll talk about that and why you would want more servers there. So the last one, federated identity. This is, it's got a few more boxes, a few more things to set up. And we'll talk about why you would want to do this extra configuration and why that's pretty easy to do as well. It requires between 2 and 8 on-premises servers. The minimum configuration is 2, one inside your firewall and one out in the DMZ that Azure Active Directory will connect to. And what this does is, in addition to directory synchronization, so we still do that, the same as the synchronized identity model, we also have federation. Now, federation just means if a user wants to sign into Office 365, it asks Azure AD. Azure AD says, hey, for that domain, you have to sign in at this particular identity provider. And so the identity provider that you've selected shows its sign-in page, and you sign in with that identity provider, and then a token is passed back to Office 365 that we use for sign-in. And so the important thing to know there is the identity provider is usually on-premises. It's in your environment. It accesses your own identity system, which could be Active Directory or could be another identity system. And it uses that to validate the password. It like shows the sign-in screen from that and validates the password. The password does not go to Office 365 at all when you're doing federation. All right, so we've got three models. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about those. Before we do, I want to introduce you to some more concepts about sign-in with Office 365. Now, the simplest way to think about identity management is you have a group of users that are in the cloud, and they can sign in. They have licenses, they have data, they have email, etc. And so let's take Bob as an example user. Bob just wants to sign in. He wants to put in his username, he wants to put in his password, and he wants to access the service. So to do that, we want to have Bob's account details synchronized from the on-premises directory, this orange one down here, synchronized up into Azure Active Directory, and so in the blue box up there. So that's the first part of the thing we have to do. We've got to synchronize his account details, because when he signs in into Office 365, all of that sign-in validation and those details has to be done by Azure Active Directory. The other thing that we need Azure Active Directory for is if Bob wants to share files with a colleague, he's going to use the SharePoint People Picker. And so it's got to know where to list those users from. He might want to send emails. He's got to use the global address list. Same thing that comes from Azure Active Directory as well. So all of that, and in addition, the licenses that Bob is assigned and other configuration items are stored when we synchronize those user accounts up into Azure Active Directory before Bob can go ahead and sign in. So we do that in advance. And then the other bit, the blue line that comes down, is when you do federated sign-in, indicating that that is actually done by the on-premises directory. So a few other things, showing some of the protocols that we use for sign-in. Office 365 makes use of WS Federation, WS Trust. It can also use SAML 2.0. Shibboleth is a variant of the SAML protocol. Both SAML 2.0 and WS Federation slash WS Trust are XML-based protocols, and they use an actual SAML token. The token is called SAML, and then the SAML 2.0 protocol is also called SAML. So a little confusing there. But both of these variants of standardized identity sign-in protocols use those SAML tokens inside of them. So we have over on the left-hand side of the slide, I've categorized Office 365 applications into passive auth and active auth. Passive auth just talks about the UX being a web UX where we can show a login screen from an identity provider directly, because to do that we just have to redirect the browser to the identity provider. It's really easy. It's considered like a passive operation. If we have an application like, for example, Outlook or Link, which run on a Windows PC, those applications have dialogues where they request the username and password, and they're going to take your password, and then they've got to send it to Azure Active Directory for sign-in purposes. And so we use different protocols for passive auth or active auth. Passive auth can use WS Federation or SAML. Active auth has got to use WS Trust. The reason we use a different protocol there is WS Trust is a protocol that lets you encrypt the username and password and send those to the identity provider for validation. With WS Federation and SAML, we don't require that at all. We don't have to do that. All right, so that's enough of the details there. Hopefully you picked up some of those terms. We'll use a few of those as we go further forward. So first, the first model to talk about is the cloud identity model. And it's really simple diagram. You're just going to go to http://portal.office.com, and then you're going to put in your username and password, and you're good, you're in. And the users are actually edited inside of the Office 365 UX. This is what the UX looks like. This is the admin portal, and over on the left, you can see where users and groups is. Click on users and groups, you can go and add users, modify users' attributes, properties, assign licenses, and that sort of stuff. So, real easy to do. It's all done through this web UI. It's actually easy to do, maybe until you get to a couple of hundred users. At some point, you're going to want your on-premises directory editing tools back. I really like the cloud-based UX, and I know a lot of relatively large-sized companies using it. The largest I've heard of is up to 250 users. And what you're saying when you're cloud-only and you're using the cloud UX is you've decided not to have any on-premises integration services. You don't have a file server, you don't have a directory server, you don't have any of those kind of things, except maybe a print server. Unless you've got really nice printer configurations to work with. But if you have that environment where you just buy PCs and laptops and tablets and then everything else is cloud-based, this is absolutely the way you want to go. The other reasons why you might use cloud-based is if you're trialing Office 365. So it's a great way to just try it out, create some users. If you do that, you've created users in the cloud and then you want to use them on-premises, it's pretty easy to export them or synchronize them up and match them between the on-premises users and the cloud users after the fact. That might be a reason that you use cloud. Another reason you might use cloud is if you have an ongoing directory migration or update or maintenance project going on with your on-premises directory, and you just can't integrate Office 365 right now, you might also start with cloud-based identity. All right, so cloud-based identity is the simplest because you don't have to do anything, you just add users. Synchronized identity is the most common one that we find customers using. So the synchronized model, you've got your on-premises directory, and then we're going to use Azure Active Directory Sync as our synchronization tool, and it will synchronize user accounts and password hashes of those users up into Azure Active Directory, which is used by Office 365. And then your user can go ahead and sign in. So this is actually a pretty simple model. All you've got to do is install the sync tool somewhere on your internal network. And it's got to be on a Windows Server machine, so there's got to be one of those there. It's possible that that could actually be your domain controller if you have a really small environment. And it does have a really nice wizard install, which we'll take a look at. So it's pretty easy to get going with this. But obviously, it does require some configuration, so it's not as easy as the cloud-based model. All right, so we're going to go and take a look at configuring Azure Active Directory Sync services, which is that synchronization tool. And before we do that, I just want to walk through a few things that you'll need to think about before you set up synchronization. So I mentioned that some people do directory remediation or directory update projects. You know, Active Directory has been installed in a lot of organizations for a long time. Many people have directories that have been deployed for over 10 years. And, you know, there's a lot of projects that go on that integrate with the directory, modify it, add attributes, change the schema, all this kind of stuff. And at some point, you get to a situation where you go, you know, we just have to stop and think about this and change the way that we're doing our directory. And so a good time to do that is when you're about to synchronize it to the cloud. There are some things in Active Directory that you may have configured, you may have done in the past, which don't suit synchronizing to the cloud. So we have a tool that can highlight those for you, and we'll take a look at that tool. It's called IDFix. The second thing you want to think about before deploying synchronization is to verify your public DNS domains with Office 365 before you do synchronization. Actually, this is not required, but if you don't do this, your sign-in domains, which you use, which come from an attribute on-premises called the user principal name, those sign-in names can only be synchronized up to Azure Active Directory with public domain names that you have registered with Office 365. We can't let people synchronize user principal names up to the cloud if they don't own those directories. So you've got to register those first. Fortunately, if you don't do that, it's possible to go back and register those afterwards and do a little bit of extra work to get those working with your users. But if you don't do that up front, it may be a surprise as your users will appear as your username at your tenant.onmicrosoft.com, and that'll be the only way that they can sign in. Another thing to check for is if you have directories other than Active Directory. We have a program for testing and validating third-party directories that are not Active Directory. Active Directory is the first one we test with. It's obviously from Microsoft as well as the cloud service and the sync tools. So it is the first one that that we use. And we do actually have some coming soon integration tools with Azure Active Directory Sync to be able to synchronize other kinds of directories. And we've published a little bit about this on the TechNet page for Azure Active Directory, calling out generic SQL databases and LDAP v3 directories. So that's coming soon. Moving on here, one server is most common. It's most common for people to set up a dedicated server to run Azure Active Directory Sync services on. This was also the case with DuraSync, the previous tool that we used for synchronization. And it will install a local SQL Server database. What it does is it takes your on-premises directory and it copies all of those objects and attributes into a local SQL database, and then it will copy the appropriate representative objects from the cloud so that it can do the comparison to see when anything has changed. Now, if you have a large number of user objects, 100,000 up there, then it's recommended to have a separate SQL Server databases. Some people just want to have a separate SQL Server database so that they can apply governance and policy to the use of SQL there. So that's a common thing to do. You can also get high availability for the SQL database if you wish. You can install the whole thing on Azure IaaS. You can put your DuraSync server and a domain controller for Active Directory up there so that you don't have to use any on-premises servers. If you are migrating from DuraSync, our previous tool, or FIM, Forefront Identity Manager 2010 R2, then you can just uninstall and reinstall. DuraSync and Azure Active Directory Sync are just synchronization tools. They don't keep any long-lived necessary state that you need to keep. So you can just uninstall it and throw away the machine and then install it on a new machine, and you should be good to go. You're only up for a bit of replication time as Azure Active Directory Sync gets to know the differences between your directories. So it's fine to do that. You can also install side by side on separate machines, and then you can review the changes between the old sync service and the new one. Last note, your AD Forest Functional Level minimum of Windows Server 2003. It's a really long time ago. Does anyone here have a Forest Functional Level older than that? Okay, I'm keep looking for that person. At some point, we'll get to remove that guidance. All right, we're going to take a look at IDFix first. This is our directory remediation tool. It's going to take a look at various attributes. It's going to look for format errors, invalid characters. It's going to look for non-routable domains. A non-routable domain is an important term to understand. When your users sign in, they have to sign in with a username, which can be alpha num, can have underscores and dots, but that's about it. Then you've got to have an ampersand character, and then you've got to have an internet routable domain name. An internet routable domain name simply means I can use ping or traceroute and go and find the host or find the owner of that domain. So it's a domain name that you've registered, like Microsoft.com or MSN.com or something like that. So we look for routable domains, and if you have non-routable domains in some of these attributes, then that's a flag. We can't synchronize those up to Azure Active Directory. We know that a lot of people have various attributes in their directory that have things like .local or other things that are very obviously not routable, and we need to either not use those attributes or update those before they're synchronized. All right, so let's take a look. I'm going to switch over to my demo machine. And what I want to show you, first off, this is my Office 365 admin center for my tenant. And let's take a look, see if we can bring this up. This is showing my users here. And we're going to take a look at my users, and then we'll go and look at my on-premises directory. You can see I've got a user called Paul Andrew, that's me, but no one else. So I haven't done anything with this yet. The first thing that I want to do before synchronizing my on-premises directory is I have to configure Azure Active Directory for synchronization. So I've got to tell it that I'm going to be sending synchronization to it. So we'll go ahead and do that. All right, it's ready to go. My existing user there, Paul Andrew, can either be matched to an existing on-premises user. We'll do a soft match based on the email or sign-in address that the user has, or it will do a hard match based on having synchronized previously. A hard match will be a one-to-one. It matches based on the GUID. The soft match may fail because based on an email address, there could be multiple users that have the same email address. And if that's the case, we won't do the soft match. We will leave it out. So my user could be matched there. But in my case, user Paul Andrew is not on premises. So because of that, it's just going to be left there as a cloud user. So you'll see when we finish this, you'll see a cloud user of Paul Andrew, and you'll see a bunch of other users that are synchronized. All right, so here is IDFix. I've just launched it here already, and it's got these commands up here on the top right. The first one I'm going to do is run a query, and a query will look at the local domain that the machine is connected to, and my local domain actually has quite a lot of user accounts with invalid attributes. So you can see here there's this user male nickname which has a character violation. It's got a backtick character in the value there, so that's not valid, and the update is going to be simply to delete the backtick character. So I'm going to go through all of those and say, hey, I'm going to accept all your recommendations. It says, are you sure? It's actually going to, when I do that, it's going to take a log of all the things that it's done. I can even roll it back so that my directory gets rolled back. But let's go ahead and I'll just say I'll apply all those changes. And it's going to make all those edits, which will make it easier for me to synchronize my data up to the cloud. So you can go through those one by one. You can select the actions, or you can change the actions, or you can just go and do it manually when IDFix finds the errors for you. But I've gone and done that, so my directory is a bit cleaner now. And now I'm going to run... actually, I want to show you one more thing. So I want to show you this screen. The Azure Active Directory Sync Services tool has two stages to its install. And you can run those two stages at the same time, but the first stage just goes ahead and installs various prerequisites like the SQL Server local database. So I've done that already on the machine. So this is what the first stage looks like. And then once it does that, it actually creates this shortcut for me on the desktop. And I've done a reboot because that first stage creates an account that I want to be able to access. So I've done a reboot. And I'm going to go ahead and run through the wizard here. You can see the wizard, it's very friendly, much easier than maybe installing some other synchronization products that we may have had before. I'm going to go ahead first and connect to my Azure Active Directory, which of course is just my Office 365 tenant. And so my account is admin at All right, so it's authenticating against my account. It's also checking that I've actually enabled that account for synchronization. And now the second step, because I'm synchronizing from on-premises to the cloud, I'm going to put in the name of the forest that I want to connect to, which is EXHR2390DOM. And then I've give it the user credentials here. And we'll add the forest. I can actually add multiple forests. Azure Active Directory Sync will connect to as many forests as you like, and it will allow you to merge or add those different forests together before synchronizing them. I only have one here, so we'll go next. And it's going to check out my domain. All right, so here's how it actually will allow me to match between forests. And I'll just switch to the PowerPoint here for a moment. And so this is showing that same screen. You can see it's the user matching screen. And there's a few different ways that you can do this matching. You can say that your users are only represented once across all of the forests that you're matching. Clearly, that's true for me because I only have one forest. You can say to match users using the mail attribute, the object SID, your own attribute, and it's very configurable as to how you can do that. So if you do have users in multiple forests that are matched, maybe you have contact users, or maybe you have users that sign in for some or other reason into those different forests, we've got different ways of matching those there. All right, so we'll move on to the optional features next. So here we're showing different optional features you can set up. Exchange hybrid deployment is how we replicate attributes both to Azure Active Directory and back to Exchange Hybrid. Exchange Hybrid attributes are the only way that you can synchronize attributes from cloud to on-premises without an additional license. Azure Active Directory Premium is what we use for hybrid deployments or replicating from cloud to on-premises. It's not required for just doing Exchange Hybrid. So I want to select password synchronization. Password synchronization has actually been added to Azure Active Directory Sync Services in the build last night. So I'm running the build that is publicly available from last night. I have tested it a few times myself. It runs pretty good. So that is the major feature that we've been holding out, waiting to recommend Azure Active Directory Sync Services over the older DuraSync tool. Now that we have password hash synchronization that you can select there, I do recommend Azure Active Directory Sync Services for most scenarios. The other one I want to select here is Azure AD App and Attribute Filtering. Did you see these extra menu items appear when I did that? Let's take a look at those. So I can tell it that I actually only want to synchronize certain attributes. By default, Azure Active Directory Sync Services and DuraSync before it will sync all the attributes from premises into the cloud. And this is best if you just want things to work. You just synchronize the whole directory, you know that all your apps are going to work. So I want to show you just an example of, say I'm only using Office 365 Pro Plus, and really Office 365 Pro Plus is just a licensing mechanism with a few nifty features for downloading the Office client software from the cloud. You know, there's a little bit more to it than that, but I just want to show you how the user sign-in is used for licensing here. So we'll say that we're just doing Office 365 Pro Plus, and then I can specify which attributes I actually want to be synchronized up. So I'll tell you a little bit about this. A lot of these attributes you can safely remove without much impact to Office 365 Pro Plus. Pro Plus, of course, is really just licensing Office, but it is also very convenient to have the display name of the user. If you don't check the display name, then your username doesn't appear in the Word and Excel apps, so it doesn't identify who you are. Also, those usernames don't appear in the Office 365 admin portal, so you can't really see who the users are, and their usernames are just space, they're just blank. The other attribute you really need to have is the usage location. If you don't have a usage location, this is actually the country where the user is based, then we aren't able to assign a license. Microsoft is subject to various laws that mean we have to validate that software licenses are not assigned to certain countries where there are embargoes, and so that country is required there. You can uncheck this, you can see it's optional, but what that means is you have to assign the country using PowerShell or the admin portal some other way before you assign licenses. Question? Yes. So the question is, does this tool use the attribute from Active Directory on-premises to set the usage location? Yes, that's how it works. I believe it did, but I would have to confirm. So the question is, did DirSync do the same thing? And it did. I have a friendly program manager who knows more than I do here, so it did. All right. Okay, so what I've done here is I've unselected as many attributes as I can without causing me undue harm. And there's some other attributes that are required there. The user principal name, this is actually the sign-in address that the user has to type. So we've got to have one of those. It's required. I can't unselect it. Source anchor is a GUID that's required in order to be able to match the user from on-premises to the cloud. I can't unselect that. Account enabled is a flag. It's a very well-known flag to those of us who've worked on Active Directory on-premises. If you disable the account, they can't sign in. So we have to know that flag as well. All right, so I've set all of those, and it's ready to go. And now it's going to configure the synchronization services that are going to run on this machine. And so it's going to configure the various components of that. First, it's going to configure connecting to Azure Active Directory, and then it's going to configure connecting to my on-premises Active Directory. And remember, what it's going to do is it's going to use that local SQL database to keep a copy of all those users, and it uses that to check, well, which ones have changed, what's changed when it runs synchronization. Sync runs every 3 hours. And password hash sync is checked every 2 minutes to see if passwords have changed. If passwords have changed, we generally want to update those faster, otherwise users are not going to be able to log in with their new password, so we watch out for those more quickly. While we're doing this, I want to show you another part of this, the synchronization service tool, which is a tool that you can run. It's installed with Azure Active Directory Sync Service, and once this configuration is finished, we're actually going to watch the first synchronization just to see how we can monitor it and see what's going on. I spent a lot of time looking at event logs and emails that I got with DirSync, so I really like this tool. All right, so let's run it now. Okay, so we just hold it to kick off the synchronization, and it'll take a moment or two, but we can actually watch the various stages of synchronization. And I'm actually finished. You'll notice I finished the Azure Active Directory Sync Services wizard. I'm done now. At this point, I could log off this machine, and my synchronization is set up now, and then every 3 hours in the future, it's going to take a look at any changes of attributes or new users that are created, and it's going to go ahead and synchronize those up to Azure Active Directory for me. At the moment, it's got to do a full import, full synchronization. The export is the component which is actually updating my users in Office 365, and I'll see if I can time when to go back and take a look. So let's go back to the user directory, and then in here, not yet. All right, so here's my users. You can see all these extra users with these random names. Those are the users that have come from my on-premises directory, and you can see that they are listed as synced with Active Directory versus this user, Paul Andrew, who is just specified as being in the cloud. All right, so that's as easy as it gets, setting up synchronization with Azure Active Directory sync services. All right, so once you've finished that synchronization, I want to take a look at a few things. The install logs, if you need to get at them, and also the PowerShell scripts that the installer uses are stored in this temp location. So you can go and take a look. If you have a more complicated configuration, perhaps than I did, there may be some things that you need to go and look at, some things that are not synchronizing as you like. You can go and check and take a look at those. Some other notes there about the synchronization rules. There is a resource kit tool for editing the synchronization rules that you can take a look at. It gives you a nice UX that you can look at the default synchronization rules, edit the attributes, change the names of the attributes, and things like that. Also, thinking about as you review your Azure Active Directory sync install, do be aware of the object limits. And directory object may be a user, or it may be a contact, or it may be a group. And so a new tenant can sync 50,000 of those. So if you have 50,000 users, but then if you have 10,000 users and 40,000 groups, I know some companies that have a lot more groups than they actually have users. 50,000 is that limit. Note also that that is automatically increased to 300,000 if you register a domain name with Office 365. That is automatically increased to 300,000, which is a pretty large directory, and we can increase that in addition to that by calling support. We're very happy to increase that for as many users as you've licensed for Office 365. There's no issue with that. The 300,000 limit is really just there to make sure that rogue systems or errors do not overload the cloud services. So you can call support and upgrade that. The first synchronization is expected to take 1 hour per 5,000 objects. This is actually significantly faster if you have previously installed sync services. And the reason for that is when we do all that matching up of users or synchronize for the first time, we have to save all those GUIDs for the on-premises users in the cloud. When we go through and do it a second time, it's a little bit quicker through. But an hour per 5,000 objects is what you should budget for your first times. Just a quick tip, password expiry for the sync account is not great. You'll get some errors and notices, but it's not fun to have to go and chase that up. Office 365 licenses have to be assigned after you have synchronized the users. So whether you're using PowerShell, the UX, or however you're doing that, you have to assign those Office 365 licenses to users before the users can access the services. They'll be able to sign in, but to access SharePoint Online and Exchange Online, you've got to assign those licenses there. You can, I mentioned a little bit about this earlier, you can set up a little bit of high availability with Azure Active Directory Sync Services, just like DuraSync tool before it. You can only have one instance of the synchronization service connecting to a tenant. You cannot set up multiple machines connecting to the same forest and connecting to a single tenant. You can only have one machine that runs sync services that connects to your tenant. Sorry, I repeated that, didn't I? So don't try and do that. It doesn't end well. What you can do, so you can't do that to ensure high availability. What you can do is you could set up a second machine that has the Azure Active Directory sync services bits ready. And so you just have to go through that 3 minutes where I ran the installer to get it going. You can also back up the SQL database if you really need to, and you can restore that and carry on. But you're only saving an hour per 5,000 objects to do that, and generally we don't recommend that. We would recommend if you have some problem with the machine that is running sync services, stand up another machine. Either have another VM ready or have another physical machine or what have you ready to go so that you can just run that install. All right, filtering with Azure Active Directory Sync. You can filter objects that you synchronize up. Check out that resource kit tool that I mentioned earlier to go ahead and do some of that. There's one other piece that I wanted to talk about, synchronization, the security that we have with password hash synchronization. So password hash sync is a fantastic new feature, and a lot of our customers are using it, but people do still want to know, what are you doing with my passwords, my user passwords? Passwords are, of course, the way your users sign in. They're a very important part of our security mechanism. The password that's actually replicated to Azure Active Directory is not the actual password that the user uses to sign in. So it can't be used to sign in. It's a one-way hash, so it's a non-reversible mathematical operation that creates that hash. We actually run another hash algorithm on that hash. The original hash comes out of on your on-premises directory. So we get that, we run another operation on that, and then Azure Active Directory Sync services only connect to Azure Active Directory. We open an HTTPS connection to send those double hashed digests up to Azure Active Directory. So they're then able to be used by Azure Active Directory to validate the user's password. If the user types in their password, we can run those same hash operations and compare the digests and see that it is the right user that's signing in. So we're very serious about the security of those, but that's actually how it works. It is different from if your authentication is federated. With federated authentication, Azure Active Directory and Office 365 never see your user's password or the digest at all. You're literally interacting with your on-premises directory in order to get authenticated. And so that is something that some customers are more comfortable with doing that. So, it's about password hash synchronization. So I have a comparison slide. Many of you will be familiar with the DirSync tool. And the DirSync tool is actually pointed to if you go into that Office 365 users and groups UX where you set up the usernames. DirSync is actually the tool which you download from there. If you click download the sync services tool, that's what you get. Azure Active Directory Sync Services tool is a relatively new tool. It's been released for a few months now, and it is our plan for synchronization services going forward. At some point in the future, we'll replace the link on the Office 365 portal, and it won't show DirSync anymore. But DirSync will continue to be supported. It has a standard support lifecycle, which you can look up on our website for details about that. So our investment is going to Azure Active Directory Sync services in the future. Over the last 6 or 9 months, the list on the left-hand side of my slide was longer because there were some things that DirSync wasn't able to do. Most notably, password hash sync before that released support. So it's got both of those things now. And it also allows you to specify attributes. It also allows you to sync from multiple forests. So really nice tool. What I recommend to people going forward because it's now publicly released and available. All right. So let's take a look at federated identity. We spent a lot of time talking about synchronized identity, and I said that synchronized identity model is the most common one that our customers used, by a long way, in fact. Federated identity is still very valuable to some customers, and we'll talk about why that is. So the federated identity model, very simply, you've got your Azure Active Directory sync services, exactly the same. You're synchronizing accounts up to the cloud, and then we're going to use Active Directory Federation Services, which runs in your on-premises machines. And when an authentication request comes in from Office 365, Azure Active Directory is going to ask ADFS to show a sign-in screen for the user so the user can enter their username and password. And the on-premises Active Directory Federation Services will validate that username and password and pass a token back. It's important to note that this is done on-premises, so we need your on-premises firewall to allow a connection in to be able to show that sign-in form to the user. The user could be anywhere on the internet and then pass back that token. So there is a little bit of configuration to do there, but essentially it's doing exactly the same as synchronized identity, but it's also doing this password validation on premises. There's one nice thing about this. If you do both of these things together, you can actually set up Azure Active Directory sync services to synchronize your users and your password hashes. So you can just tick that box for password hash synchronization. And this means if you have a problem with your internet connectivity at your office, maybe you have a power outage at your office where Active Directory Federation services is running, maybe you have some kind of configuration issue that happens by accident, and for whatever reason your on-premises directory is non-functional, you can very quickly switch back to using just synchronized identity. You can switch back and then your users can continue to sign in using their same passwords that they used previously. But of course, they won't see your sign-in form from on-premises, they'll see the Azure Active Directory one. So this is an optional thing. If you really don't want your password hashes to be synchronized to the cloud, you would leave password hash sync unchecked. You wouldn't be able to do this. You would just have to go and fix your federated identity system. So great option there for you if primarily you do want federated identity, but you're okay with those passwords being synced. Hey, so federation is also easy. We talked about how easy, and I showed you how easy synchronized identity is. Now I want to show you how easy federated identity is. So one way that it's easy is there's lots of trained people that you can use. Is a lot simpler if you use people who have done it before, who have gone through training, who have done previous deployments of Active Directory Federation services. It's also easy if you use the Azure Active Directory Connect tool, which we'll take a look at in a moment. This is a new tool. It's currently in preview. It's not released, but we'll take a look at how easy that is going to make setting up Active Directory in the future as we start to get more built around that. It's also easy if you read all of our guidance on TechNet. There is a ton of guidance for deploying Active Directory Federation services on TechNet. I got a link there. You can take a look at some of that. You can become that trained and experienced deployment person that can make these deployments easy for ADFS. It's also pretty easy if you just implement the requirements for Office 365. ADFS does a lot of other things for signing in and using those identities that you have on premises. But if you just need to use it for Office 365, it's a lot easier than it may look up front. One example of that is ADFS uses a lot of different certificates. For Office 365, you only require one. The certificate you require is the HTTPS certificate for your proxy server where Azure Active Directory connects to that proxy server. It wants to validate that you are the service that it's supposed to connect to. That's the only certificate that is actually required for ADFS. All right, the other reason ADFS is easy is if you prepare to get your firewalls updated before you start your federation deployment project. If you don't prepare for that in advance, sometimes these projects can take some time. So let's take a look at Azure Active Directory Connect, and we'll switch over to this other screen here. All right, so we're back on my demo machine, and this is the Azure Active Directory Connect tool preview that I'm running here. So let's take a look at this. So first I've got to agree to the license terms. What it's going to do is, and it's got some prerequisites got to install there on my local machine. What it's going to do is it's going to connect to my cloud directory, and then it's also going to connect to my on-premises directory, and it's going to ask me how I want to configure it. And so it's going to give me the option of, do I want to do just the synchronization model, or do I want to do the federation model? And then it's going to ask me enough questions that it can go and do all that for me and set up all of that on my behalf. So we'll get through a few of these prompts. Right. All right, so it's connected to my Azure Active Directory. Now, I have the option here of using Express Settings, which are going to be install the Directory Sync tool on this specific server, Server 01. configure synchronization to the current AD forest of Contoso. That's the forest that I'm connected to from the tool here. Configure password synchronization and just the synchronization model, no federation here going on, and then start initial configuration. Well, that sounds pretty easy. Let's not do that because we've seen that already. Let's go in and customize this. And you can see here it's not completely finished. I can say I have a single AD forest, or I can say I have multiple AD forests. Right now, it's in preview. We can only specify a single AD forest. So let's go ahead and do that. And then I can choose password synchronization, or I can choose single sign-on, which is federated sign-in, federated identity. So let's select federated identity. We're going to be configuring ADFS at this point, we've told it. Okay, so now it wants to connect to my Windows Server domain. And that is this. It's not. Okay, my domain is Contoso. All right. So it's connected to my forest on-premises. And now it's asking me a few questions so that it can go ahead and set up ADFS for me. It's going to do all that hard work by creating some PowerShell scripts and remotely connecting to those machines. So I'm going to set up a new ADFS farm. It needs that certificate that I mentioned a bit earlier. Here it is in a file here. The certificate is password protected. It's just going to ask for that. All right, there's my password. It's got my certificate, and so now it's going to ask me machines that I want to configure Active Directory Federation services on, and it's pre-populated this machine, Server 01, so let's go ahead and use that. You can add other machines to deploy ADFS on multiple machines there. It's also going to ask me for the web application proxy. Now, if you know a little bit about ADFS, you know that what it does is when Azure AD has a sign-in request from, say, Office 365, it's going to connect to the endpoint on-premises, which is your web application proxy, which has got to show that sign-in screen. The sign-in screen, it's a web page. It actually comes from the ADFS server, but we have to connect to this web application proxy, and let me put in the name of that, Server 02. So we've got these existing machines or VMs, Server 01 and Server 02, which have Windows Server installed on them, and they're ready to be accessed by the wizard here. So let's carry on. We'll go to next. And now I need to have credentials for Server 01. All right, there's Server 01. And now ADFS runs with a service account. I can give it a service account or I can have it create one for me. We'll just have it create one for me. And then it's asking me which of my domains, these are domains that are registered with my Azure Active Directory, so also my Office 365 domain. So it's going to convert that domain in my tenant to a federated domain from a synchronized domain. And this is a function that you have to do as part of setting up federation. All right, so we can review the options here, and then we can go ahead and run the install. Now, at this point, I've got to tell you, this is not actually really running these scripts. I have a special version of this tool which has a mocked-up back end. So we're not actually waiting while it goes ahead and installs ADFS. So that I could save a little bit of time here, I'm showing you this this mocked-up one. Hope that's okay. The real tool in preview does configure ADFS, so you can go ahead and try that out now. It's not released, though it's not in GA. So the last thing I have to do, remember our simple model of ADFS is we have a web application proxy that receives a request for Azure Active Directory, and it has to have an SSL certificate. It's also got to have particular DNS records set up for it. And so it's telling me here that I must set up the DNS record fs.contoso.com for the domain that I've selected, which was contoso.com. So fs.contoso.com has to point to my web application proxy, and that in turn is going to connect to the ADFS servers. So I've got to tell it, hey, I've gone on my external tools and I've set up that DNS, and then it's going to go and verify that. And it finds it, it points to the following IP addresses, so it's happy with that. And that's all there is to it. At this point, having gone through this wizard and using the real version of the tool, we've actually deployed ADFS and we've deployed synchronization services. In the preview, the tool, it actually deploys DirSync and then ADFS. So if you're using that preview, that's what it will do. In a later version, when we have multiple forest support that you could have selected earlier in that wizard, it will install Azure Active Directory sync services. All right. So the next part of the talk, having looked at cloud, the cloud identity model, the synchronized identity model, and the federated identity model, I want to give you a little more advice, and hopefully you're starting to get some of this already, but I want to give you a little more advice about how to select an identity model. All right, so the first thing that I want to share with you is if you've been following along, when we configured the synchronized identity model, I actually started with a tenant that was set up for the cloud identity model, and I converted it to the synchronized identity model by checking that box in the Office 365 admin portal. So that first one up there, cloud identity to synchronized identity, you're deploying Azure Active Directory sync, and you're either doing a hard match or a soft match. Remember, a hard match matches by the GUIDs on the accounts. A soft match matches by email addresses if you haven't done that before, but may fail if you have duplicates. And all we're doing there is what we did to set up the synchronized identity model. And then the second one, going from synchronized to federated, that is a switch that you make between on the tenant to switch it from sync to federated, which was done in that Azure Active Directory Connect tool when it sets up federated. So actually we do two of these changes, going from cloud to sync to fed, as part of normal configuration. The point here is that changing between these models is relatively straightforward. You can also switch back from federated identity to synchronized identity and synchronized identity to cloud identity. Note the times that these operations take. The sync from synchronized identity to cloud identity does take some time. It has to replicate out some of those changes to different servers, so much that you can actually take a look with a PowerShell about how far it's got to do that. Those are the PowerShell commands you can use. You can also switch back in the Office 365 UX. So it's relatively easy to change this. And the point is that you don't have to pick the long-term perfect identity model for your organization that you're going to run with forever. You can go to one, switch to another. If you've got some users that are cloud-based and you actually need them to be synchronized, you can export them, you can load them into your on-premises directory. If you've got users on-premises that you need to match with existing users in the cloud, you can match those up. All of these things are possible to do as you switch from one to the other. It's not too big of a deal. The second thing I want to tell you is we recommend that you use the simplest model for your needs. And so what I mean by that is the cloud identity model is the simplest. It has the least configuration required. So if that meets your needs, use that. The next simplest model is just doing synchronized identity. So if that meets your needs, go ahead and do that. The third recommendation is to choose synchronized identity if you have an on-premises directory. Chances are if you have some kind of on-premises directory, you're going to want to synchronize it to the cloud so that your existing investment in that on-premises directory can be carried forward. And we recommend that you choose the password hash sync model unless you have one of these scenarios that I'm about to show you, which would be a requirement for using federated identity. All right, so if you're using the password hash sync model, and this is relatively new introduction. We've had this around for, about a year and a half or so. Before that, to get users to have the same password on-premises and in the cloud, you had to have federation. So we had a lot of customers who would set up federation just so that their users could have the same password on-premises and in the cloud and not have to reset them and change them in parallel all the time. So now we have that with password hash sync. That reason has gone away from being a reason why you needed to have federated identity. And that, it turns out that was the primary reason why people used federated identity. It wasn't to get single sign-on. Single sign-on, which you'll see on my list that comes up in a minute, single sign-on really is talking about signing on once on your PC and then not having to re-enter your password when you go to other sites. You actually do not get single sign-on as it's defined when you use password hash synchronization. The passwords are the same, but we don't have a token that we can pass between on-premises and the cloud because the identity provider is not the same. One is signing into your on-premises Active Directory and one is signing into Azure Active Directory. And although we have synchronized accounts, they're not the same as they are in a federated identity scenario. So we refer to this as same sign-in rather than single sign-in. Same password, users can sign in. Lots of users use Windows Credential Manager, which is an encrypted part of your user account that's protected by your user login on your PC to save their credentials for later. So there's a little checkbox in a lot of our sign-in forms for Office 365. And if you check that box, then your user will get signed in, so long as they're signed into the PC with the same domain account, that saved credential will follow them and be able to sign in again. Also, right now, Outlook does not support single sign-in. So if you are not using the Windows Credential Manager with that check, save my details for later, you actually have to enter your password every time you start up Outlook. It doesn't support single sign-in at this time. All right, so let's take a look at these scenarios. These are scenarios why we would recommend Active Directory Federation services. And generally, this is kind of a consulting engagement. The choice between federation and synchronization is, well, do you need federation? Well, what does that mean? Do you have any of these things? So we've got three categories of these. One is existing infrastructure. If you already have ADFS deployed, I'm going to recommend federation for Office 365. It's actually not very hard to set up if ADFS is already there. Even if you don't have ADFS, as we showed with the Azure AD Connect, it's pretty easy to set up. But if you already have ADFS, it's really easy. There's really nothing to do, so you may as well use it. You're probably using it for a reason, so that would be the recommendation. If you already use a third-party, a non-Microsoft federated identity provider, then you're going to need to use federation. Password synchronization does not connect to third-party directories and synchronize passwords from them. It only works with Active Directory on-premises. The other is if you use Forefront Identity Manager 2010 R2 and you're using that to synchronize your identities, you're using Forefront for some other purposes, then you're going to need to use federation because FIM 2010 R2 does not support password hash sync. So that would be the only way that you could get the same password for your users. So existing infrastructure, technical requirements is the second category. If you have an on-premises integrated smart card or multi-factor authentication solution, this is a solution which is integrated with Active Directory Federation services, integrated with your Active Directory, then you need to use Federation from Office 365 in order to be able to take advantage of that. The reason is that MFA or smart card system is integrated with your on-premises sign-in mechanism. So it's not integrated with your cloud system unless they're the same. Custom hybrid applications or hybrid search, where you really need that signed-in token to be the same on-premises and in the cloud. Hybrid search means you have potentially a SharePoint site on-premises, you have a SharePoint site and SharePoint online, and you actually have some parts that match between them, and you want your search to go across both. If you don't do that, your user is going to be prompted to sign in twice when they use that kind of solution. Web accessible forgotten password reset. This can be implemented using ADFS and surfacing a web page through that ADFS location that allows the user to reset their password. We can also provide this with Azure Active Directory Premium now, so it's not strictly required to have Active Directory Federation services to do that. All right, so technical requirements are those. The last one is policy requirements. If you require sign-in audit and/or immediate disable of your accounts, So what this means is if you're familiar with Active Directory on-premises, you know that you can go into the Users and Groups Manager, Active Directory Users and Groups Manager, and you can just disable a user. You're turning off that enabled flag. Now, if you remember, I said that account properties are only synchronized every 3 hours. So that includes the user enabled flag. If you disable a user, their account is only disabled, you know, after the synchronization window comes up. There are other ways you can do that. You could actually just change the user's password so they can't log in, and that's synchronized much faster. Or you can go into the cloud UX and you can disable that. But technically, if you are used to disabling a user in that fashion, it's not going to synchronize real quick onto the cloud. So as you can tell by the way I'm saying this, there are certainly ways around this policy requirement. The other is for sign-in audit. If you want audit in your event viewer on-premises of all your user sign-ins, then you're not going to get that if you're using password hash synchronization, because those users are signing in with Azure Active Directory. They're not signing in with your on-premises system. All right, number 8 is single sign-in. So to minimize the sign-ins where the user signs into their local PC with their domain account, and then they don't have to sign into the cloud services because we use the same token, then you're going to need to use Federation for that. Require client sign-in restrictions by network location or work hours, otherwise known as client access permissions settings. This is a functionality that is in Active Directory in terms of the client sign-in restrictions and work hours, and network location in terms of Active Directory Federation services configuration. So these are things that are actually just part of AD on-premises and ADFS, and so you don't get these if you have password hash sync sign-in. One thing you do get, by the way, is password strength policies, because your users are changing their passwords on-premises, and so they abide by the same password strength and reuse and complexity policies that they use on-premises for their passwords in the cloud, because they're actually just changing them on-premises anyway. So any policy you have there for that is going to be carried forward. The last one here is policy preventing synchronization of password hashes to Azure AD or some other off-site system. And so we talked a little bit about the security of password hashes and how we store them and synchronize them, and so I'll leave you with that. All right, the last thing I have to talk about is third-party identity providers, where there are 4 different options for federated authentication. There's some terms here that we showed much, much earlier in the talk, in terms of Shibboleth, SAML 2.0. These are typically the different ways that people will do federated sign-in, where federated sign-in is simply validating the username and password for the user that is signing in and then providing a token back. And there are a lot of different third parties that have these identity providers, and Microsoft works with these third parties to do testing and qualification of products that are based on the WS Star standards or the SAML 2.0 standard, just to make sure that they do integrate well with Office 365. And we have a program for this called Works with Office 365-Identity, which has the following customer benefits: flexibility to use, reuse an existing identity provider investment, confidence that the solution is qualified by Microsoft, and also coordinated support between the identity provider, partner, and Microsoft. Now, Microsoft doesn't support the third-party identity provider, and the third-party identity provider typically doesn't support Office 365, but we have contacts at Microsoft for the support people at the identity provider, and they have contacts with our support people, so that should something go awry and you need to get support, we know how to contact the other party and we can put you in touch with them. We can make sure that any shared issue is dealt with well by those 2 support organizations. So there's some more details about this at the URL there, and we publish details about identity providers that have passed the qualification testing. All right, so my summary slide here. Choose the simplest identity model for your needs. Those 3 models are cloud identity, synchronized identity, and federated identity, and change between them as your needs change, if you need to do that. We took a look at how easy those different models are. I showed you the screenshots for cloud identity. We walked through and configured all the way through synchronized identity using Azure Active Directory Sync Services, that new build from last night that I walked through, and which is released, of course, so you can go and grab that as well. And we took a look at the Azure Active Directory Connect tool, which will enable you to deploy ADFS close to as simple as deploying Azure Active Directory Sync Services. And remember those 10 scenarios where you should use federation rather than synchronization. All right. So thank you very much for coming along. I have some related content to show you about. We have a session here which will go into more detail of Azure Active Directory sync services. Andreas, which is your session up here? The third one, EMB316. Andreas Chelman is the PM for Azure Active Directory Sync Services. He'll be there with another PM going into more detail of that, so if you want to learn more about that. So check out some of these sessions online. You can check the office blog for topics related to identity management there. And of course, I'll be at the Ask the Experts on Thursday. All right. So please come to our technical network if you want to follow up questions after the show. And please complete an eval form for us. And thanks very much again for coming. End of the day. I hope you've had a great first day at TechEd. And I look forward to seeing you all in the halls.